Using gene editing, scientists have created a chicken with dinosaur legs. Drumstick, please. Well, what do you know? Okay, good. That's good.
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
How do you spell that?
That's John Tulin on the piano, Nick Moran on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we follow the road to Little Dribbling with acclaimed author Bill Bryson, plus all the news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the radio guy formerly known as Michael Feldman. Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what else to call myself. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are scientists thinking half the time? Why would they even do that? They say, hey, you know what we could do? Make a chicken with dinosaur legs, honestly. Could. What? Oh, yes. Very good. Get your own show, sir. Or you can take this one, maybe. I think it's up for grabs. Next, of course, buffalo pterodactyl wings. Okay. I didn't really mean to say that one. Because I don't think you pronounce the P, and I always do. So. Pterodactyl. Go ahead, sticklers. Okay. Let's see. In something that doesn't begin with scientists, Pete Rose endorses Donald Trump with hopes for a presidential pardon. Excuse me. Graphic video of line workers' misconduct at the Kellogg's plant reveals how they get the snap, crackle, and pop in there. I'll tell you, though, it's a young man's job on the line all day aerating the Rice Krispies. Let's see. New holes in the Cuba embargo includes shortstops, second basemen, and short relievers. So that's good. No reference there to the Kellogg situation, the short relievers. Let's see. And the only thing resembling a platform so far, Donald Trump promises riots if he's Trump-blocked at the GOP convention. Almost simultaneously, Bernie Sanders says if he is denied the Democratic nomination, there will be a whole big McGilla, and much Simmons. What are you looking at me? So you don't speak Yiddish? I don't either, obviously. So we're in the same boat. Okay. The big to-do, my mother used to say. There'll be a big to-do. Mom, what is a to-do? Things, that's a list you make. What is a to-do? Big or otherwise. Big to-do. Anyone still say a big to-do?
Yes.
Really? Oh, good. It wasn't just my mother. I feel better about my background now. Let's see. Amazon will add third-party human organ stores to its lineup. Where allowed by law. It's like with the sales tax. Okay, I just want to say to Marco Rubio, Marco, we'll always have Puerto Rico. Okay, besides still not being interested in being House Speaker, a local boy made good little Pauly Ryan is also not interested in the presidency, the NFL commissioner, the new host of The Apprentice, and head of FIFA. So the full list is at 10. So see which one of those he actually accepts then as a result. The NFL admits that CTE brain damage has also occurred in the boardroom. You know, it's easy to miss concussions at a football game. You know, you think, well, what are these thuds I keep hearing? You know, admitting, you know, there are concussions in football. It took them a while to get the idea of how the game is apparently played. Anyway, let's see. Okay, I say NFFL, National Flag Football League. Thank you very much. It's cute. They wear little red things in their back pockets. Little red things in the back pockets. Other guys try and grab them. Much cuter game that way. Let's see. When the Supreme Court nominee Merrick Garland's mother calls him, no one answers. So, that does not forebode well for his nomination. Okay. I liked it. But I won't die for that joke. Actually, he's one of those guys whose name really should be hyphenated, don't you think? I mean, because it's probably the Merricks met the Garlands. And Merrick Garland is a result, so it should be Merrick-Garland. I think it would. Okay, I haven't thought very much about that. Anyhow, Merrick Garland, if he doesn't get the job, would make a great chairman of the English department somewhere. Chairman Merrick Garland of the English department. Okay. No more Merrick Garland jokes. Would you remind me of that?
Sure.
Yeah, they don't work, or I can't work them. I don't know. After winning, Ohio Governor John Kasich says he'll go all the way to Cleveland, which is 140 miles from Columbus. $130 if you know the shortcut. March Madness continues down at Lipinski's for Men, still downtown. What? Oh, this is an ad. I'm sorry. I don't know how this got in here. March Madness continues at Lipinski's for Men, still downtown, where, gentlemen, if we don't have it, you shouldn't wear it. In other news besides March Madness, actually, there's another one here. President Obama nominates Kansas as NCAA champs. Too bad. I thought they had a chance there. Apple Legionnaires will fall on their eye swords rather than unlock the iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus, which, in the blueprints even, is labeled Eye Sacred Ark of the Covenant. So think about it. But not now. This is not going on. More Americans are being certified DNH, do not Heimlich. Oh, God. No, sorry, I'm just kidding. I just thought I wouldn't want to be, DNH, do not Heimlich. I don't like the contact. Some people are like that. I just don't like. I don't know you. Do I know you? Even if I knew you, I wouldn't like. I'm actually Dinsot. They call it DNSOT. Do not say organic to me. Ever. I don't care if it is. That's fine. Cool. Just don't want to hear about it. Google says all its online traffic except Hillary's is encrypted. Experts say the best way to quit smoking is to have a man who may not like you bullwhip it out of your lips. Spent a lot of time on these. I wish you would appreciate them without misgivings. Happens to be true. Yes, bullwhip it out of your lips. I guarantee you, you won't put another cigarette in those lips. And you'll stay away from that dude, whoever he is. That's a pretty weird thing to do. Putin pulls out prematurely, and an ex-wife somewhere in the Ukraine smiles and nods. A dozen airmen at a nuclear base in Wyoming are being investigated for drug use, but you try sitting in a silo in Wyoming for 12 hours at a crack with nothing, hopefully, to do. Case dismissed. I doubt they let you listen to tunes even down there, do you? Because you might miss, when the Trump launch code comes in. Might not hear it. SeaWorld jumps the shark on orcas. Thank you, sir, whoever you are. I know you're begging. They said they wouldn't breed orcas, but they didn't say they wouldn't date them. Which I thought was an interesting omission, because sometimes the omission is the commission. So a study, it said difficult patients get worse care in a hospital, while the good ones, they kill with kindness. Your choice. The Chinese make a bid for the Sheridan salad bars. See, I think that's a good joke. Okay, well, that's not that. Uber, there's a new thing called Uber Eats. You hear about this? Uber Eats. It's a new service where an Uber driver comes over and eats you. Apparently, I didn't really check it out. Or they can't get rid. He probably eats with you. You have a nice Uber driver pull up and have someone to eat with. If you're eating alone, it's not good. Or eats for you if for some reason you can't eat. Okay, anyhow, it turns out that Donald Trump's son ordered the white powder that came in the mail. Odds are, I would say. Yeah. The American ISIS defector says, I made a bad decision. Hey, don't be so hard on yourself. And finally, I mean that here in Milwaukee, look at this. This is the new Bucks Billion Dollar Arena, which enters the Guinness Book as the world's largest pastrami on pumpernickel. And that's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much for your kind indulgence. Pumpernickel. And pumpernickel is old school, I'll tell you that. Not many people like it. And who likes a nice pumpernickel?
I do.
Oh, look at that. You have to make noise, though, right on the radio. Let me ask it again. How many of you like a nice pumpernickel? Holy cow. Has it come back? Has there been a resurgence like someone else we know? In pumpernickel use? Because is it organic? Or the good grains? Does it have the good grains as opposed to the bad grains? Are there good grains and bad grains? We'll talk some other time, I guess. Because I got Bill Bryson on the line here all the way from Hampshire, England. He's a busy man. The new one is called The Road to Little Dribbling. Okay, I don't know. We'll ask him. And he's on with us right now. Hopefully they're in Hampshire. And hi, Bill.
Hello, Michael. Hi.
How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I noticed you've got a little bit less of the Iowa twang, a little more of the English twang.
I've now lived two-thirds of my life in England and one-third of it in Iowa.
Yeah, do they finally accept you or not?
In Iowa?
In Iowa, yes. Or you're a renegade.
They gave me the key to the city of Des Moines a few years ago, which was a very proud moment for me, as you can imagine.
Well, I got that. It opens nothing.
I know.
None of them open anything.
It was about 3 feet long, so it wasn't really much use. But it was a symbolic gesture. It was very nice.
You got the big one, then. I got the mini. It was just about this big. But it still didn't open anything. So, actually, you are the only man to receive an OBE and the key to Des Moines, I think. Isn't that true?
I hadn't thought about that, but
probably a record breaker in that.
And play shortstop for the Raccoon Valley's Little League Cubs. Just as you're naming unique things about me, that's all.
This is in England?
No, in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, Des Moines. You were the Thunderbolt kid or something, weren't you?
Yeah. I was. Yeah.
Your prowess on the field?
That was my nom de plume when I was a little boy. But what I really wanted to be was a major league shortstop.
Yeah. Were you good? Your right and your left?
No, I was a pretty good fielder, but I was a terrible hitter.
Well, shortstops don't have to be great hitters.
Well, it helps a lot if you want to get into majors.
Yeah. See, with you, you're always an overachiever, though, Bill. Anyone ever tell you about that? You don't just visit England. You want to own it, you know? You want to rise to the top. Is it hard for the English to accept an American as being, first of all, funny, you know, and that's going to be a tough thing, a barrier to crack. But to be able to say things about the things that they say things about, is that tough for them?
Well, in terms of finding Americans funny, I mean, they do find, you know, a lot of American humorous funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Americans that are famous for being funny in America are famous for being funny here, too.
Yeah.
In terms of being accepted by them, it's a great advantage always to be a foreigner, I think, that because you can say things that the locals can't say. I mean, one of the things that I've been able to do for years is, because the British aren't very good at praising themselves or, you know, bigging themselves up. They really aren't. They're kind of embarrassed by it. So I can praise them for things that they wouldn't be able to say themselves.
But then you condemn them, too, for some, like littering. They're notorious litterers, aren't they, the British public?
Yeah, but It's one of the great shames of the country. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that drives me crazy. What happens when I'm critical of them? Sometimes they react favorably, but just as often they don't like it. I mean, they don't like foreigners to be pointing out their deficiencies.
Yeah, but you know, Bill, without littering, no Stonehenge.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. Well, it's my way. I don't know if it's one way or not. And so, this book actually, you didn't really retrace the steps of your earlier book. Which one was that? Walk in the Woods? No,
the other book was called Notes from a Small Island.
Yeah, the Small Island. You didn't retrace that. That was like a youthful. That's really sort of when you turned, right?
Well, that was Notes from a Small Island was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
At that point, I'd been living in England for 20 years.
You had already turned by then.
And I was just about to come back to America to live back in America with my English wife and four English kids for a while. So just before we moved back, we actually went to New Hampshire. I did this
New
thing
Hampshire,
about a district
not,
tour.
Wait a minute, Bill. Not New Hampshire. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay. However you want to say it.
That's the way it's said, Bill. I mean, okay.
Okay, correct me. Say that again, so what am I saying wrong?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Not New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. So, well, I was
implying that there is, in fact, an
old Hampshire.
Hampshire
where I live now.
What? You live in Hampshire now.
I live in Hampshire now.
Yeah.
So when I said New Hampshire, I meant the other Hampshire.
Yeah, no. Well, we call it Old Hampshire. Back in England, something. So, but just, I'm really curious about it because not only did they accept you, but you became, they love you. People love you here, but they love you over there. They almost worship you.
Well, that's very kind of you to put it.
You are like
Michael,
Jerry Lewis is to the French.
If you're a writer, most people have no idea who you are in any society. I mean, so in terms of being universally adored,
you are, though.
It doesn't happen. No, I mean, it's...
Come on, you are.
Britain's been very good to me, and I'm very fond of the country, and I'm delighted to be here, but...
Let me ask you this, Bill. Who played you in the movies?
Oh, Robert Redford.
Okay. So it's kind of... you're adored universe. I mean, who's going to play me in the movies?
Well, they had to choose Robert Redford because they had to find somebody who could, you know, capture my looks.
Yeah. And did he do a good job?
He did. He I have to say that he looks better at 78 than I did at 44 when I was hiking the Appalachian Trail.
So. Okay, so that helped a little bit, probably in that regard. But what would you say your look is? I'm kind of curious when you're going around and you're actually, because you are looking at things and what is that look? Is it
the look I have, or
the
way
look
I look
that he had to capture for the movie? Is it bemused or is it interested?
Bemused and. Somebody described me the other day in print as having sort of mastered the art of never knowing quite what's going on, and I think that's pretty fair description of me.
Yeah, and it's paid off because then you try to find out.
I've learned how to make a living out of PS incompetence.
Yeah. All right, let's get right to Shallow Bowels and Nether Wallop.
Okay. I probably need to explain that those are English place names.
Yes.
That one of the things that, among the many things that delight me about England is the sort of instinct for eccentricity, and one of the places that you most visibly see that is in place names. That they have no embarrassment about.
Yeah.
Indeed, they have no embarrassment about personal names as well. I mean, you will often see people that have names that you would be embarrassed if it were your own name.
But could you could find that just as well in Iowa, Bill?
Well,
Tingley, Spillville.
What Cheer, Iowa? But that's
B Town.
What was the last one you said?
B Town with B B E E B E E Town.
Yeah. My favorite town in Iowa, since you're bringing the matter up, is Lake City because its motto is. Lake City, the great little town with everything but a lake.
Yeah. See, that's Iowa. That's good. But I know England's good. It's amazing, actually. And what you did on this trip is you went back to some places that you had, you know, your formative experiences, but not all, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to just... I had this feeling that if I went around and retraced the earlier route, that all I would do is I would just end up being a grumpy old man saying, you know, how every place along the way had deteriorated or wasn't what it used to be, or, you know, because I've reached the age, you may recognize this yourself to some extent, but, you know, where you start comparing everything with the way it used to be.
And I
didn't want to end up doing that. So I made a particular effort to go to places that I hadn't been before.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, because, you know, Britain, the whole of Britain is about the size of Iowa and Minnesota put together.
No.
So not very big. I mean, in terms of land masses, it's not very big. And yet, you know, even though I've known the country for 40 years, there's still so many places I've just never quite gotten to. So that was really part of what I was doing, is going to all these places that somehow had eluded me since the 1970s.
Yeah. It's more a travelogue of your brain, I would say.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I mean, I suppose in a sense, all travel books are. Because, you know, you don't want to just know what I did, you know, what I did in the morning and how I spent the day, because that actually would be kind of tedious and quite boring. Yeah. So, I mean, any travel book is the author trying to inject other things into it.
Yeah.
You know, some interpretation and anecdote and that kind of thing.
But, I mean, it's not you go to Grimsby or something and look for the high points and recommend. You don't really. You go to Grimsby and see that really is grim in Grimsby. In other places, you don't go and looking for, you stumble across a graveyard, you know, while looking for something else. And it's a very important one that no one seems to know about.
Well, I don't follow you. What graveyard did I?
I don't know. I didn't read everything here. But
oh. I thought I can't remember.
There are all kinds of famous people buried in this graveyard that was just in the middle of something else where you were.
I mean, no doubt.
Did you read the book yourself? Because I went to a lot of trouble to read. It's big, but I read almost 400
pages. I don't actually remember that. I mean, the problem is that kind of illustrates the point I was just making.
The graves of Bournemouth. It was in Bournemouth. The graves of Bournemouth.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, there was one famous person there, which is Mary Shelley, the woman who wrote Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's all in Bournemouth? I thought there were more.
Well, then Shelley, the poet, Percy Bysshe Shelley, his heart is in. It was sort of tossed in the grave as an afterthought.
Yeah. Was
that's all that was left of him. He drowned in the Mediterranean.
Yeah. Is that all that came back to England, was the heart?
Yeah, somebody, I didn't even know who it was, but somebody rescued his heart after he drowned, and they brought that back to England as a kind of treasured relic.
Well, where was the rest of it, though?
Where was the rest of him?
Yeah, it was Shelley. He's very important.
Well, yeah, no, he was, I mean, they buried him where, I can't remember, it was Italy where he drowned, wasn't it? Anyway, they buried him. They didn't bring the whole body back. They just took his heart out for some reason and brought that back to England.
Well,
ended up with his widow.
Yeah. And I bet there are daffodils on the grave.
There very well could be now, yes.
Have to be. Yep. Shelley, come on. Host of golden daffodils.
I think English that was major. Wordsworth.
Yes. Okay. Forget it. I said that then. Shelley was the one with the sister.
I don't know that. I don't know.
Maybe that was Wordsworth, too. Anyhow, never mind. Okay.
Oh, yes, Wordsworth was the one with the sister. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. Wordsworth was the one with the sister, that he was really unnaturally fond of.
Yeah. Or naturally fond of. I don't know.
Unnaturally fond, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The newspapers, you used to be a newspaper man, really. That's how you started out kind of in England, right?
Well, in England, yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, how I started out in England was entirely by accident. I got a job in a psychiatric hospital.
Right.
I was hitchhiking around Europe in the summer of 1972. Oh. And at the end of the summer, I was supposed to go back to Des Moines, go back to Drake University, where I'd already done 2 years, and, you know, just resume my normal life. And by chance, I got a job in a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
And while I was there, that's where I met my wife, who was a student nurse, not an inmate.
It's such a coincidence.
For England.
It's an amazing coincidence because I met my wife in a psychiatric hospital as well.
Did you?
Yes. But even like, the part of the book, this thing about counties, it has to do with the newspaper business that you're in and so forth. There are like, what, three or four types of counties in England? Is that right?
Yes, it's really strange because, you know, I mean, if you grow up in the United States, of course, the states are like little sovereign territories, and you know, their borders are inviolate. I mean, they're something that they're taken very, very seriously.
Yeah.
And never change. And whereas in England, they're much more fluid and flexible, even though the counties themselves are, you know, hugely historic and go back 1,000 years or more. Anyway, so there's various kinds of counties. There's administrative counties, which are the ones that you would see on a map normally. But then there's also like postal counties, which is the ones postal service uses, which don't altogether intersect with the administrative counties. And then there's ceremonial counties, which are a different matter again. And anyway, the upshot is that there are counties that don't actually exist any longer and haven't existed for 50 or 60 years or more, but people still use them as their postal address. Like Middlesex, for instance, which hasn't existed for most of my lifetime, but people still will say that they live in Twickenham and Middlesex.
Right, and do they? Because wasn't that the big argument that you had on the newspaper, that you actually found that something that was purported to be in Lincolnshire was fact, and no one would change it.
Well, it wasn't just that they wouldn't change it. Nobody ever knew. I mean, I found it really weird because, again, you know, we're kind of geographically obsessive in America, particularly if you work in a newspaper. I mean, you need to know where the town is, what state it's in, and where, you know, it's really important. And in England, they were just really kind of casual about it, and they didn't. And it drove me slightly crazy when I was working on newspapers because I just thought, you know, you've got to know where Grimsby is and what county it's in, and very often they wouldn't.
And if they said they'd look into it, but they wouldn't because they're English, and it's just wherever it is they think of it.
Well, there's certain things. Yep. The British are very adorably slack at times, but there's also times where they're sort of irritatedly slack. And if you're a newspaperman, that was one of the times when they're irritatedly slack.
Yeah. But you said you don't read newspapers anymore. Is that true? You're no longer print oriented?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say, because I worked on British newspapers for a long time. But they've, I just don't believe what I read in them anymore. So I've kind of given up on them. I tend to read the New York Times online now.
No. When you went to Cambridge and there was that place, I know you've done a lot of science writing. By the way, where does your science writing come from? Was that predicted by earlier experience?
No, exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
I was terrible at science at school. I mean, really, really terrible. And my science teachers always disliked me. And I couldn't help it. I mean, I can tell you a very quick story that's absolutely true. But when I was a senior in high school, because I'd been so bad at science, I really, really wanted to do well. And so I took this private vow that I would pay attention and I wouldn't antagonize the teacher. And the very first week of classes, one of the other students used the word kilometer. And the teacher stopped him and said, I've got to stop you there, son, because the word is not kilometer, it's kilometer. All words that end in meter are pronounced meter, like centimeter, millimeter, kilometer, and so on. There are no exceptions. Science is all about precision, so you need to know that. There are no exceptions to that. At which point I raised my hand and asked him if that meant he took his temperature with a thermometer.
Ah. Smartass, you know,
and he hated me for the rest of the year. So
yeah.
I always did terribly at science at school, and as a consequence of that, I grew up, you know, having almost no science education, and yet, you know, I always thought there must be some level at which I could intersect with science, which I could engage with science, and that was the whole idea of doing a book about science, was me trying to understand science without going into equations and formulas and so on.
Yeah. And you did such a good job at it. And then they named some science hall after you somewhere.
Not exactly. I ended up as being chancellor of Durham University in northern England. And when my
how does a guy do that? I hate to give you wrong. How does a guy do that? A guy comes to England, gets to know a few people. Suddenly, you're chancellor of a university.
Well, it wasn't sudden. It didn't happen overnight. But they did invite me in about 2005 to become chancellor of the university, which is in England it's a purely ceremonial role.
Still,
by being sort of, I don't know, combination of queen mother and pope or something. You don't have any real official duties. You just kind of preside over things, and they put you in a grand gown, and you sort of preside over graduation ceremonies.
Still, don't people must die to have that happen to them.
It's a
people
huge
have lived
genre.
In England,
I mean,
for generations.
Belittling it. I loved it. It was great because it also means that you get to be part of the university. You get to take an interest in what's going on there, and you end up essentially as an ambassador for that institution. And Durham is, I'm happy to tell you, it's a wonderful city. It's a very, very beautiful city with a fantastic cathedral. Mm. But it also has a very noble university. It's the third oldest in England.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great honor for me, of course.
Yeah. The other one I like to think about, the Nobel laureate who was pruning the hedges.
Oh, yeah.
That could only happen in England, I believe, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's a quintessentially English argument, English story, which is, his name escapes me for the moment, but he...
Sir Lawrence Bragg.
Lawrence Bragg, yeah. He took a job, he became head of the Royal Institution in London, but he was a very keen gardener, he didn't have a garden in London when he moved there to take over this new job. So he just hired himself out 1 or 2 days a week in the afternoons to go and as a gardener and work in people's homes. And somebody was visiting her friend. She looked out the window and recognized him. And she said to the friend, who had no idea that she was had hired a Nobel laureate as her gardener, she said, "Monica, what is a Nobel laureate doing pruning your hedges?"
Did she famously answer?
I don't think her answer was actually recorded.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'd like to hear what she would have said. She probably didn't know, right?
She had no idea.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think that probably would never happen here. Leaf blowers might, a laureate out, one of those Berkeley guys might come over and leaf blow your lawn. But I doubt it. I don't know. You'd actually go to Oxford or Cambridge at any point, did you?
Are you talking as a student or just as a tourist?
No, I mean as a student. Has that held you back at all in your climb, your breathtaking climb to prominence?
I think my life would have been richer if I had been able to go to Oxford and Cambridge. But the problem was I was limited by the size of my brain.
Oh, pish tosh. Well, that's not true. When you were a kid, though, did you think you were an Englishman born into an American's body when you were a little kid?
Yeah. No. But then I really
because you're the son of a sports writer and a very good one, a classic sports writer.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I just accepted that this is. I think as most of us do. This is where I was born. This was the world I knew. I grew up. I was very, very happy in Iowa. I would easily have lived my whole life out there, except that. As I say, just by accident, I stumbled into this alternative life in England and met a girl who became my wife. But I have to say, when I got to England, I really found and felt in an almost sort of spooky way that it really suited me. I really liked it. For one thing, it's a very left-handed country, and I'm a left-handed person. They drive on the left. So if you're driving your car and it's... stick shift, you shift with your left hand. I mean, that was the first kindness that the world had ever shown me as a left-hander.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I really responded to the sense of humor. I liked it a lot. This was, this was the 1970s, so we were talking about the period when it was Monty Python and the Holy Grail and
so you're
that kind of thing.
There was psychedelics involved in the whole initial experience that could have affected the outcome.
Well, there were a lot of psychedelics everywhere. I mean, that
yes.
was...
I'm not accusing you.
I didn't have to go to England to find psychedelics.
No. I'm sure in Iowa it was filled with them.
It wasn't exactly filled, but we weren't entirely bereft either.
No. No, I've seen the U of I. I know what goes on there. Who knows what goes on there? So I know it's amazing, actually. Maybe a former lifetime. But I wonder, is it still the classist? I mean, the classism, does that bother you at all? Because you don't have any natural niche or, and I know, is it still important to the English, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's something that they really do. I mean, it really is true that they're kind of very sensitive to class issues. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about being a foreigner is that you are essentially excused from all that.
Yeah.
You can't be pigeonholed so easily because of your accent. I mean, they just don't know where to put you. where you went to university, if you name an American university, it doesn't announce you in the same way that it would if you went to a British school, things like that. So you're pretty well immune from the class system stuff if you're not born in England.
Okay. And little dribbling, I don't think there is a little dribbling, is there?
But sadly, there's not. I think Britain would be an even richer place if there were. But no, I just made that name up. It sounded to me like this kind of like a place that could exist. I was desperate for a title for the book. Coming up with titles for books is really hard.
Yeah.
It is for me anyway. And I just couldn't think of a title for this new book. And just that just kind of popped into my head. So I thought I quite like that, even though it doesn't really mean anything.
Okay, but there is a road to it. That's the important thing, and we have it here, ladies and gentlemen, The Road to Little Dribbling. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time with us.
It's been my pleasure, and I think it's you've just had a birthday, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. As someone said to me, it's just an observance at this point. Bill Bryson, Road to Little Dribbling. She wants this book, you know, on side. Okay, we'll see.
Thanks, Michael.
Although I have defaced it, you know, all the little writing little things.
That's
and there,
that's know. Why I want it.
I never got that grave answer. I have it written right here, see? The graves of Bournemouth. See? Preparation comes in handy. All right. Yes, sir. You've been to England then, haven't you?
I flew over it.
Yeah.
I saw the White Cliffs of White Cliffs of Dover.
Oh. Did you see the rest of it? That's right at the end.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Or if you're coming the other way.
I think it clouded over and I couldn't see anything.
Oh, that's too bad. Introduce our bass player guest.
Oh, yeah.
Here
we got a bass player today, Mr. Nick Moran.
Nick Moran, ladies and gentlemen. And he dressed for the job. I love a bass player who dresses. Very nice. You look good, man.
And we're going to do a little tune called Svensson.
Svensson? This goes with me. Okay. Thank you all for coming. Nice group we got here. Give yourselves a big round of applause. No, come on. Big round of applause. There you go. All right. God, you people. For yourself that much, really? Julie Egan. From Hiawassee, is that right? Yeah. Georgia? Hiawassee?
Yes, Hiawassee.
Oh, nice. Where is Hiawassee?
In the mountains, just south of below North Carolina.
In the mountains below?
The mountains,
oh, it sounds beautiful. Are you high in the mountains there?
We're high.
Yeah? Highest point in Georgia? What does your driveway look like? What angle would you call that, degree-wise? What?
What was the question?
Yeah. Would you say 45 degrees on your driveway or 30?
35 degrees.
35 degrees. He's measured it. Okay, 35 degrees. Because I come by, I'll just look for that, I'll see your driveway there. Well, very nice. Nice to have you here. Anyhow, she asks, what is the next adventure for you? She's a retired clinical social worker. I think the next adventure for me would be seeing a working clinical social worker. So if you ever take it up again, I'll call you and I'll get up that driveway, believe me, because I'll need to. Thank you very much for coming and joining us. Keith, an insurance agent from Appleton, asks, why do people wear drop crotch pants? Do they? What peep? Where is Keith?
Bieber.
Are you wearing them now? Could you just stand up for a second? Can you stand on the chair and shake them? Oh, I almost lost it there. Okay. Pull in your feet when I come because I'm old and I don't see anything under my feet. I've keep stepping on the dog's bones. And I'm barefoot all the time. You ever step on a dog's bone when you're barefoot?
We don't have a dog.
Then what are those bones doing around the house?
I avoid them.
Okay. Very good. I don't do that. You know, I feel like I'm alone sometimes in my preconceptions. Do you ever step on a dog's bone?
No, I always wanted a dog, but he never let me get one.
Was that him for you?
Yeah, that is.
How come you're sitting with two people between you?
Because he never got me a dog.
Such an easy thing to do.
I know.
Did you tell him that you wanted a dog?
Probably every week.
And what does he say?
That they would have to end up being the ones to take care of it. That we would never be, like clean up after it.
What?
We don't want the bones.
God. Oh, this family thing's... Just get a dog. Come home with a dog. What's he going to do? Shoot it? Wait. Do you own a gun?
We don't.
Okay, good. Okay. Get a dog. What's he going to do to it? How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
What is on your shirt? House... What? Spice Melange? What is that?
It's a reference to the book Dune by Frank Herbert.
You had a shirt made special, or did you...
No, I just ordered it off the line.
There are other people who wear this, too?
I would think so.
So if I see House... say it for me.
Atreides.
House Atreides. Spice.
Melange.
Okay. So someone else who is into this will know exactly what you're talking about.
I would think so, yeah.
And what feeling would that conjure up in them when they see this House Atreides Spice Melange?
Oh, he's read that book, too.
What's your name?
Kurt.
Okay, good. Thanks, Kurt. Why am I in this room? I forget why I'm in this room. Was there someone I was going to... Oh, yeah, crotch drop.
Crotch.
Come on. Those are perfectly normal jeans or whatever, right?
They're
corduroys.
Right. Yes. But
yeah, people where do you work?
I work for Jewelers Mutual Insurance Company.
You're an insurance company. They're wearing drop crotch pants around the insurance office.
No. These things were atrocious. They're knee level crotches. I don't understand.
But why do you? Who's wearing them around you?
Just hipsters.
There are hipsters insurance agents.
Sure.
I can get like hipsters insurance.
There's a niche market for everything.
Yeah. Okay, well, have you ever worn, as a kid, a young person, did you wear drop crotch? Or is that...
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah. No, I grew up in the South. We were very religious.
Don't change the subject. We're talking about drop crotch pants. I don't know. Thanks, Keith. That was very hallucinating. Pardon me. Oh, I got it. Sorry. Are you clutching your purse? I love that. What's in there that's so important? What could be in a purse that you would clutch it that tightly?
Everything in the world to you.
Yeah, everything in the world. Do you carry a purse as well, sir?
On occasion, special. Yeah.
It's not called a purse if you're a man. It's called a...
Merce.
What?
Merce.
A merce.
Or a European clutch.
European clutch. Yeah, I'm kind of European in a clutch, too, I got to say, if it comes to that. It's all right with me. Thank you all for coming. Nice to have you here. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. The famous and patented What Do You Know quiz. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz because of legal considerations and pending legal actions. So, yeah, could you come down this way here? Thank you. And find out, this is called the Four Disclaimers part of the show. And this is one thing that hasn't changed since time in memoriam. Because I don't want to rewrite it ever. Here. I did rewrite. Yes, number two is different every time. And you are?
Cindy.
Cindy, from around here, Cindy?
Yeah, from the Near East Side.
You're from the Near East Side?
I am.
Okay. What'd you come up, East Washington?
No. John Nolan Drive.
John Nolan Drive, okay. I'll give this to you and get out of your way.
Oh, yeah, thank you. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions asked on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, had Mammoth and Rubio in my bracket. Number three, Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you very much. Well done. You can keep that. Love the dress. I love your dress. It's very whimsical. Let's see the hands of those of you who are just dying to do the What Do You Know quiz. It's got to be like on your bucket list at this point. Let's face it. Is it on your bucket list, dear? Do you have... It is, well, you are. Okay, but I actually meant her because she was jumping. You probably don't have a bucket list, though, do you? Yet, you're young. Well, come on down here, and we'll talk also. I mean, I she was very excited. And, you know, maybe we'll get you the next... you know, don't feel bad, okay? No, you'll be... Okay. How are you? And your name is?
I'm Stacy.
Stacy, are you from around here, Stacy, or around there?
I'm from around there, Johnson Creek.
Johnson Creek, beautiful Johnson Creek, home of the...
home of the Johnson Creek Blue Jays. Go Blue Jays!
The Blue Jays. And that there, that where you got those, that mall with all those stores in it that everyone goes to.
Yes, we do. Yes. I forget it's there most of the time.
Yeah. Okay. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I brought friends with.
Okay, you got another one?
Sure. Absolutely. Because I am speaking at an international conference this summer, so I'm going to be famous.
Okay, international conference. Okay, I want to ask you for another one. I'll get you up here. Come on. No, come on up. Come on up. There you go. Have a seat right there. Okay.
I'm so excited.
All right, for tax purposes, full name, last name, first name.
Stacy.
Stacy.
S-T-A-C-C-I.
C-C-I.
Bargains. B-A-R.
Bargains.
B-A-R.
Oh, Stacy's your first name?
Yeah.
Or last name?
Oh, sorry. That's my first name.
Last name first.
Okay.
Let's Bargains. Start over again. What?
Bargains, Stacy.
Bargains. As in A-I-N? Bargains.
A-N-Z.
A-N-Z.
Yep. Close enough.
Okay. And Stacy?
Yes.
C-C-I?
Yes.
Okay.
I had no choice in that. Okay.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
That's good. Thanks for coming. And what are you doing these days?
I am a K-12 gifted and talented coordinator and a mom of four kids.
Holy cow. That's taking your work home with you.
Right. That's why there was nothing interesting to say when you asked why I wanted to play it.
Yeah. Gifted and talented. Yeah. And where do you do that?
Fort Atkinson.
Fort Atkinson. That's good. Is that a big program, gifted and talented? A lot of
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you do with the gifted and talented?
Oh.
Just let them do it, right? They got all the tools they need. Let them go.
Well, I do try and provide things that they wouldn't get normally. Like, I just took a group of kids this last week to UW-Whitewater to learn about research in undergraduate majors. So,
and how old are these kids?
Well, those were high schoolers.
Okay.
I work with kids from K-12,
yeah. Oh, cool, cool, cool. What do you do? What's your passion in life? What do you do for kicks?
Go to the What Do You Know show.
Oh, come on. Come on with you now.
I really like gaming. I have a friend who actually creates board games. And so he has a bunch that are published now. And his name is Kane Klenko.
Oh.
He lives just west of Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how cool. And what's your big game right now that you're playing?
Fuse is a really big game.
Fuse?
Yep, Fuse. And
would I like it?
Oh, absolutely.
What's the object?
You have 10 minutes to, it's a cooperative game, so everybody that's playing is working together, and you have 10 minutes to roll dice and, like, defuse this series of bombs so that you don't all lose.
A family game. I love that. Defusing bombs, but with the whole family.
Right. Yeah. And it's actually a good family game because you forget that it's bombs and you just focus on winning.
I played that last weekend, actually.
That's the way
Did
the
you?
Donald
yeah,
would
it's
do
fun.
It. Yeah, that's the way the Donald.
My name is in the credits. It's kind of exciting.
Oh, that's cool. I'll look for you next time.
Did you play it last weekend?
I played it last weekend.
Oh, and did you defuse the bombs?
I just kind of watched. I saw how it all worked.
All right. We got to go. We got to do this thing here now, the quiz.
Yeah, we got
to tell them how they get
sure.
on.
Sure. So if people want to play the quiz with Stacy, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, a very famous explorer's uncle's ship was found this week off the coast of Oman. Let's go to the phones right now. I want to know whose uncle's ship was found. Famous explorer, world famous explorer from the old days, off the coast of Oman. And let's go to Rebecca right now in Springfield, Missouri. Famous guy, explorer, very famous. You know the name, if you know from history. His uncle's ship was found. Rebecca. Rebecca, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Would it be Magellan?
No.
Okay.
No, Magellan's uncle didn't sail, I don't believe. I didn't see anything. Thank you, though. And Shelby's going to Minneapolis. Shelby?
Yes.
Whose uncles? Well, what explorer's uncles?
Shackleton.
Who?
Shackleton.
Oh, that's a good one. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Bob, you're in Greenfield there. Very famous from the old days, you know, when they had, you know, these guys going around the world looking for things. And this guy, I think, was Portuguese, if that's a pretty good hint, I think.
I'm guessing Vasco da Gama.
Oh, you're guessing right, Bob.
Whoa, lucky.
Vasco da Gama's uncle. Pasco. I don't know what his name was. His name is lost in history. But, Bob, how are you?
Very good.
Yeah, and Greenfield, you got something to do this morning? We get you at a good time?
Well, actually, I'm making lunch for my mom.
You're making lunch for your mom?
Yeah.
That's nice. What is she having?
Let's see. I'm bringing up egg noodles, which I eat because that's my staple food, and she's having corned beef and cabbage.
Oh. She's having the corned beef and cabbage, and you're having what?
Fried egg noodles.
What's the matter with you, Bob? Are you
punishing I was on a low-carb diet for too long.
Are you punishing yourself, Bob? What did you do that was so bad? Where there's corned beef and cabbage, and you're frying egg noodles and eating them.
Well, egg noodles just to make up for the cabbage.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you know what? We are running out of time in this segment. So I think we should carry this over, don't you think, Stephanie?
I was thinking we could do a one-fer.
No,
like a one
I don't think that would
question.
Be fair to Bob and Stacey.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, okay.
So we're
going to carry you both over. Don't just stay right there. Don't move, Stacey.
Nobody move.
And Bob, stay on the phone there from Greenfield, Wisconsin. Are you cooking while we're speaking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm cooking while I'm speaking.
Okay, just leave the phone off the hook.
Okay.
And we'll go on to whatever comes next.
Okay, that sounds good.
No.
All right.
Do you want to say something? Oh, no, you don't. Isn't this where you generally say something about we're here thanks to the goodness of...
Sure, yeah, I can do some promos. Attention Cleveland area Feldman fans, we'll be at the State Theater on Saturday, April 23rd. Ticket information is available by calling the box office or online at notmuch.com.
Cleveland, look forward to it.
One of our last road shows. So.
Well, that puts a nice touch to it.
Well, people should come out and see us. It's a good time.
That takes the bloom off the Cleveland road.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com.
Bob, you all right?
I'm all right.
Okay.
You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com.
I'll put you on hold. Don't hang up. You just need help with the recipe there. Corned beef and cabbage. He's eating fried noodles.
That sounds really good to me, actually.
I would like to talk extensively to Bob.
About his lunch choices.
Oh, you're still on there. Hi. I didn't know you were on there.
I'm listening.
Yeah. How do you fix your corned beef and cabbage? Do you put it in a slow cooker or what?
No, actually, my cousin made it, so we're heating it up.
Oh, that's the best way to do that.
All I know how to cook is noodle.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI.
Erupt!
Public Radio International. That's John
Lean on piano, Nick Moran on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we get Southern Charmed with our Town of the Week, plus a batch of thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And now, the man in serious negotiations with the USO for a What Do You Know world tour, Michael Feldman.
USO. The Afghan tour. Thanks for staying around during that break. Appreciate your being here. We got Stacy over here on my right, and Bob is on the screen here. Bob, you still cooking? You're just heating it up,
cooking.
Bob. You're just heating it up. I sort of lost a little respect for you there. I said I'm making a meal for my mother, and you're just heating something your cousin made, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But I bet she's a good cook. Well, that's good. That's good. And Bob, what do you do for a way of life, for a walk of life?
Well, I'm a retired air traffic controller.
Really? What do you do?
Well, actually, I'm a downsized air traffic controller.
Oh, you got downsized in the big downsizing?
No, back about 10 years ago, they launched air traffic. They went from 3,000 down to 600 people.
Yeah.
And I was somewhere between 750 and 600 on the way down.
Oh, boy, okay. Bob, this is Stacy. She's your partner here.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Stacy.
And she works
with Gifted and Talented, and so I think you'd fit right in.
Very cool.
Okay. The two of you are a team right now. We collaborate on here, like with your game. It's collaborative. We're not defusing bombs. Or are we? And then, okay. So tell them how they do that then.
We have various categories, and those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Bob, we'll give you the first call. What would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
Yeah, you should have learned in school. Bigger effect on human evolution, was it sliced bread? Let me try that again, Bob.
Okay.
Bigger effect on human evolution, sliced bread or sliced meat?
Ooh. Sliced meat.
Sliced meat, Bob says.
Sure, I'll go with
yes,
that.
Yes, I bet it was corned beef, too, because it's hard to chew, and it's a profound effect on our jaws. Smaller jaws.
Yep.
Smaller teeth. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what happened as a result of slicing meat.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Stacy.
Do you want to go with current events?
Sounds good.
Okay.
We didn't have gifted and talented when I was in school. Or maybe we did, but they never told me about it. What'd you say? Current events?
Current events.
Okay, yes. All right, associate the phrase said most often with the candidate. The phrase said most often with the candidate. Here are the phrases. The fact of the matter is, we don't win, I would note. Three phrases said most by these candidates, measured. And the candidates we have are Ted Cruz, John Kasich, and Donald Trump. This is tough, actually. This is good.
Yeah, this is tough. Can you say the three phrases again?
The fact of the matter is, we don't win, I would note. Cruz, Kasich, Trump.
And we have to get all three right?
Yeah, if you don't know.
Bob, any ideas?
I'm not a stickler. I'm not gifted and talented.
Hey, Bob, you still there?
So I don't care.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Bob.
Bob? Bob?
Bob, yo.
Bob! It wasn't a cooking accident. Oh, he cooks too hot on... I warned him about that. He had that big... cooks too hot on that grill. That grill isn't... Number one, it's not made for it. Bob? Can you get a hold of Bob again? It's just getting exciting.
Because propane can be our friend or our enemy.
Ah. Yes, good point. We're calling Bob again, are we? Or is he calling us? What do you think could have happened? Did he drop it in the vat or something?
I think he just didn't like the question category.
Could be.
There was a loud thud.
I heard a splash and the phone went in the vat of corned beef and cabbage. Oh, it's going to be murder fishing that out of there. I doubt we'll hear from Bob again.
No.
Not on that phone anyway. Unless it's the new...
Probably a good thing.
Well, if it's a Samsung, you know, they're supposed to be...
Let's try Bob again.
I don't know if they're corned beef and cabbage proof, but I think they're waterproof. Someone should have that, a corned beef and cabbage proof phone. That would, Irish people would buy it, Jewish people would buy it. We both own it.
Still here.
Oh, hi.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Bob. What happened?
I don't know. I'm on a cell phone with Bluetooth, and what could go wrong?
Okay.
I just moved out of the kitchen.
Did you hear the question? Well, the question is a very complicated question, Bob. And I,
well, the middle one, I think
it's
Trump.
I don't have much time in this career. What? Did you hear it? The fact of the matter is...
No, the middle one is Trump, but I'm not sure of the other two.
Okay, we don't win as Trump. Okay. Who says the fact of the matter is? Kasich or Cruz?
I'd say Kasich, I guess.
Okay.
That was my guess, too.
And therefore, I would... Note is Ted Cruz, correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, you got it. You nailed it. A lot of thinking was involved. There was a delay.
Thanks,
unforeseen.
Bob.
Had every element of drama in it.
That was two right. And the remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Bob, just do one thing at a time, okay?
Science.
Science. Science it is. Poor diet and lack of exercise, good or bad for mice?
Bad.
You say bad?
I'm guessing it's bad. What about you, Bob?
Bad, yes, it's bad. It's bad. You win the What Do You Know quiz. What a fabulous development. How about that?
How about that indeed? Stacey, you've won the book that could be the title of Marco Rubio's presidential quest, This Is All a Dream We Dreamed, but it's actually an oral history of the Grateful Dead by Blair Jackson and David Gans from Flatiron Books. Bob, you'll get every day off on the right foot with Steep & Brew Breakfast Blend Coffee and keep both feet on the ground with tasty, rich, and smooth Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can drink your favorite libation from a handsome What Do You Know travel mug and win the quiz all over again, playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including enthusiastic audience, contestants, questions, and cards, along with the sprightly Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Good job. Hang on, Bob. Hang on to your phone as well. Thanks for playing. Nice job. Okay. Well, then, you know, each week at this time, or usually earlier. That's right. Thanks for the memos. I just had to get these, retrieve these memos here. Things are going swimmingly, though. I do feel like I'm swimming. What does this? Oh, yeah. Our company does wellness days, separately for women and men. What, they can't be well together? Wellness? Well and wellness, is that the same thing? If I'm experiencing wellness, am I well? Or is it a little more holistic than that? All right. The memo did have people laughing. Okay, this is just a thing that went around everywhere, I guess, from this place. Tuesday, Blue Day. Join us in the Lakeside Lounge on Tuesday to celebrate Men's Health Month. Enjoy a healthy snack while showing off your no-shave November progress and learning practical tips to improve your health. One lucky winner will take home a camouflage mini fridge. Pretty cool place to work, I would say, a camouflage mini fridge. Learn about workout programs, nutrition products, healthy sack ideas. Oh, I get it. Should be snack. Okay, no. All right, I don't know if that was worth it. But healthy sack ideas. I'll give you another one because that was a little disappointing in the end. This email was sent out with the subject line, ladies. Ladies.
All you ladies out there.
Yeah. In caps. It is very disappointing that I have to write this email and send it out. I've tried to be discreet with this topic. Huh? Oh, look at this. Oh, okay. Did you receive this? However, it appears that not all ladies in the building have the same hygiene goal as the majority do. Just, I'll close my eyes. Applause if you have a hygiene goal. If you're a lady with a lady with a hygiene goal. Okay, applaud. If you have a hygiene goal, I'm not looking. Is that it? Really? That's all? Kind of a rare thing to have a hygiene goal for ladies.
Not top of mind, no.
Okay, all right. I have been receiving complaints on a daily basis, every day. That's redundant. On the ladies' restrooms. Today, so far, three. Today alone, so far, three. The company invests a lot to give you a clean, decent workplace. It is not our business to how you live outside of the workplace. When you come to the workplace, you need to respect it and clean up after yourself. No one is pressured here to get back to their job to the point where you can't take a few minutes to flush or clean up after yourself. If this continues, we have to take measures that will not be measures that will not be pleasant. What are they going to do?
You know who you are.
Are they going to tape them to your cubicle or something? Or what the heck, you know? This is actionable. If you got this, call a law firm of Hubish and Feldman. It's actionable. It's insulting. Not be pleasant. No one will like having to go to your manager to get a key every time you have to use the restroom and then return it. What is this, a gas station? Then we will have to assign someone every hour to do restroom checks. And I think you're getting the point. We are all adults here. Let's act like adults. Your cooperation will be appreciated. Thanks for that memo. This is what I think of that memo. It's insulting. Thank you for the memo, Zoe. You can send those in here. And actionable. I believe that's actionable. Don't you?
That was shocking.
It was shocking, and it was
fascist.
Action. Okay. So where can they send memos and such? And
they can
so forth?
Send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post them there.
Okay. And then
they can also snail mail them
to
us. That address is 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to say anything about what's going on in terms of our show and its end date, feel free to write us about that. We'll pass it along to anybody. We've gotten a lot of letters. No, not letters, emails. Okay, and this is all the news that is around here. Just a couple things going on. You know, I do this because the first thing doesn't work. The news that isn't, so this is stuff around here. Just, this is brief here. It's the best time of year for walleyes. Yeah. Right. Lynn, where are you? Can you verify that? Best time of year? They like the cold water?
Almost spawning time.
Almost. Oh, I see. It's almost spawning time.
So they migrate up the rivers.
They migrate up the rivers. They're about to spawn. Do you want to catch a walleye that's about to spawn, though? No, that's kind of...
I guess people do.
You guess that people do?
A lot of people do.
Yeah. Are walleye eggs like caviar?
That I know of.
What?
Not that I know of.
Okay, not that you know of. Okay, so don't buy any walleye eggs and say... Someone tried to say it. It's caviar. Not going to happen. Anyhow, that's around here, I guess. Lacrosse. This was just weird because I like lacrosse, and I've been there lots of times. We had great times in lacrosse. Great town, lacrosse. Anyone here from lacrosse? Okay. Hate lacrosse, really. I never had a good time there. Those damn bridges and stuff, and there are people puking everywhere. The bars are right on top of the bridges. That's not a bad idea. No, I love lacrosse, actually. But this was... There are 200... health inspectors reported an average of 3.2 violations at 75 area dining establishments in February. Isn't that rather high? Three violations at every... This can't be right. And the thing that really bothered me was the one that had the most was the China Buffet in Toma, which I love.
No, don't tell me.
Do you remember the China Buffet?
China Buffet.
They got everything there.
Oh.
Salmonella. Yeah. They've got.
Listeria? No, we shouldn't
Listeria.
Say that.
No.
We're just joking.
And it's all you can eat, Listeria. No.
That's not lacrosse, though.
No, in Toma. Yeah. China, but it's not, but it's near, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of. 22 violations, but it's great eating. I just want to say, Jim and I went there one time. I went on a road trip. We stopped at the China Buffet, and we were talking about it for weeks afterwards. hoping to get some coupons out of it. It was that good. Okay. That hit me. Okay. Germantown Fire Police Department's holding active shooter training at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh.
So that, Hope they put something on the door at least. You want to walk in there and there's an active shooter training going on. Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn's dog got his own Instagram account. That's pretty big news. Courtesy of Chance, the couple's Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, who has frequently made guest appearances in Munn's social media posts, now has his own Instagram account. Since joining Instagram as Chance Rogers 12 a couple of weeks ago, Chance has 9,449 followers and a few sniffers among them, believe me, and seven adorable posts, including one showing him with Rogers. The dog has come up on many of Munn's talk show appearances. Last year, she brought Chance on the Today Show. She told Ellen DeGeneres during an appearance on Ellen that Rogers house-trained him in a day, and she house-trained Rogers in even less time than that. A couple of hours, and he was good to go. And she bundles Chance up complete with snow boots when he has to go outside in winter at home in Green Bay. Munn adopted him as a rescue from Puppy Mill late 2014. If you can rescue a dog, she said, you should do that. It's the best gift you ever get, Munn told DeGeneres. There you have it. That's all the news there is from around here. And, of course, the arena. You don't want to see that again. Okay. That's all the news that is. And now each week at this time, and some weeks never, ever, at any time, we honor a town, a village, a burg on the rearranged map of the U.S., Here is most definitely with our town of the week.
Thank you, Michael. The town of Edenton is located in North Carolina's Inner Banks region in Choan County in the northeast corner of the state. In 1658, adventurers from the Jamestown area drifted through the wilderness and found a location on the banks of the Albemarle Sound, establishing the first permanent settlement in what is now the state of North Carolina. Oh. Edenton was incorporated in 1722 in honor of Governor Charles Eden, who had died that year. Edenton has become popular in recent years as a retirement location and a heritage tourism destination due to its connections to early American history. In 1744, a landmark event in women's history occurred in Edenton. 51 women, led by Penelope Barker, signed a protest petition agreeing to boycott English tea and other products in what would become known as the Edenton Tea Party. This was the first known political action by women in the British American colonies.
What year was that?
That was in 1744.
Wow.
It was so shocking that London newspapers published etchings depicting the women as uncontrollable. Visitors to Edenton can now visit Barker's house 7 days a week and will find teapots around the town commemorating this historic event. Other historic Edenton residents include Joseph Hughes, successful owner of a merchant marine fleet, who was appointed the first Secretary of the Navy in 1776 and would lay the foundation of the American Navy.
Did anything happen in later centuries? Anything in the 18th?
You know, Edenton is all about that 19th
heritage. Century.
No, I found everything that I found about Edenton was all about this glorious past.
Nothing in the past 200 years has come up. That
maybe our the person that we call will be able to illuminate some more recent.
Because they were
events.
Off to a good start.
They were off to a fantastic start. Can't speak much for Edenton in the last, couple decades or centuries. So we'll have to ask. We'll have to inquire. Where was I? James Iredell, who at 38 years old was appointed by George Washington, was also another Edenton resident. He was the youngest member of the first Supreme Court. Edenton is also home to numerous national historic landmarks, including the Cupola House and the Choan County Courthouse. Built in 1767, the courthouse is the oldest government building in North Carolina and is still used for official court events. Mm-hmm. Edenton is also home to the Lane House. Constructed in 1719, it is the oldest house in North Carolina. And that's Edenton, North Carolina, the South's prettiest small town, also known as our Town of the Week.
All right, we got 200 years to probe. I'm sure many things have happened. And let's go to the phones right now. Paul Woff has joined us from Edenton, North Carolina, our town of the week. Hi, Paul, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Is anything that you want to add or subtract from what you just heard from Stephanie?
No, that's a good
kind of a good scenario of what's taking place here. And we still do about the same thing, hunt and fish and eat out a little bit and dump a little tea in the water every now and then.
That's, and no major events, though, for the past 200 years? Or something, there must be some groundbreaking things that have occurred.
Well, the good thing about Edenton is we've kind of, the folks here have kept the flavor of Edenton and got a very active downtown and lots of shops and got a few restaurants and good old home cooking. You can go get breakfast in the morning and get bacon and eggs and ham and grits and a place called Pembroke, Creekside. It's down at Pembroke Marina on a creek.
Yeah. What do they get for a nice 4x4 breakfast at Pembroke?
Oh, you can eat all that for about $6 or $7.
That's good.
It's a buffet and good old home cooking. They got Waterman's is kind of like Cheers, and we got 309, really good food there. We got that fancy cafe, just good old home cooking.
Yeah.
Like a little sub shop, Westover Service Station. Yeah. Got a downtown hardware. You can just walk in, pick up whatever you need, nuts and bolts and screws right on Main Street.
It sounds like heaven on earth, is what I'm thinking, Paul.
Yeah.
But what do you do in that neck of the woods?
I'm in a pile drive, marine construction, bridge demolition, got a condo development, and a single-family subdivision.
Yeah, I do a little of that. I don't do as much as I used to. You know, the pile driving, after a certain point, you know, just takes a lot out of you, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, and we move the by barge. We move the Roanoke River Lighthouse, which sits at the Edenton waterfront.
Oh, you did,
which is pretty neat structure.
Yeah, when did that happen?
We did that about 3 years ago, and actually last year drove the piles and moved it out over the water and set it on the foundation.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Is that the biggest thing you've done as far as pile driving jobs?
Well, we've taken out about 10 miles of bridges and we recycle and reuse 98% of it. The breakwater and pier at Edenton waterfront that protects the marina there.
Yeah.
It's built from a bridge we took out.
Let me ask you this, Paul. If you're a pile driver, does the family, your kids go into the business or not?
My daughter works with me. She kind of helps keep me straight.
In what sense of the word?
Yeah, that's right.
That sounds great, Paul. And Stephanie said this is kind of retirement mecca now. Do a lot of people who comes down there to retire? Military retirement?
Yes, it is. We have a lot of retirees that come here, and once you come to Edenton, people fall in love with it. It's very, very laid back. Seven rivers come together within 40 miles. We're an hour from the Outer Banks, an hour from Norfolk. Hour from Greenville, so you can get as busy as you want within an hour, and then be laid back, and only three stoplights in the town. So, you know, laid back lifestyle.
You know what that is? All those rivers. That's a confluence.
Okay, I'm listening.
Confluence. No, it's a confluence.
Yeah. But it's pretty neat. You know,
that's the one word I know that applies to this. It's a confluence. They all come together. That's pretty cool. Are you native from there, Paul?
Yes, born and raised. Family goes back to the 1800s. Used to be in the fishing industry when salting herring was big, herring that they shipped all over the Northeast United States.
Yeah, and they salted it and shipped it in barrels everywhere, right?
That's right. They actually had a cannery right downtown Edenton.
They did. They canned it.
Where they canned herring roe and herring and shipped it all down the East Coast.
That's anything left of the fishing industry?
Well, they put a moratorium on herring fishing, so you can't do that anymore. We have lots of good striped bass fishing and local freshwater bass, largemouth bass, white perch, catfish.
Yeah. Are herring endangered? That's alarming. My people love herring.
Yeah, it's funny, You can't catch them here in North Carolina, but you can catch them in the other states when they're basically a migratory fish goes them down the ocean anyway. But unfortunately, in North Carolina, with the heritage here, we're not allowed to catch them.
So if they go to South Carolina, you have to go to South Carolina to catch your own herring, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Well, Trump will change all that.
That's right.
That's the first thing to change.
You only need a light.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know you probably got in the midst of doing some work right now. Are you just relaxing?
I'm actually down on the Outer Banks looking at the ocean right now.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yep. An hour away from Edenton. Can't beat it.
I wish I was with you. It sounds perfect. We have a little
Come on down. We'll jump in the water. How about
Sounds good. We have a little something for you, Paul, for being so kind.
We do. Paul, we'll be sending you the golden treasure of America's Dairyland and a delicious assortment of artisanal handcrafted cheeses made with all natural ingredients from southwestern Wisconsin's Cedar Grove cheese.
We have a confluence of cheeses for you, Paul.
Thanks. That sounds really good.
Yeah, thanks so much. Paul Walker from Edenton, North Carolina, our town of the week.
You have a great day.
Okay, you too. Now you can applaud. It's a little more. Right there.
Now, before we move on, I think we need to throw the dart to determine our next town of the week.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Assuming we're doing another town of the week.
I know. That's how I feel.
Is there anyone that would like to throw a dart at our rearranged map?
Do it right. Stephanie.
Oh.
Come on, Stephanie. Take this. Do it right here and sell it. You got to sell it. Take the dart with you. I take the dart with me when I go out there because it's a little more formidable.
Volunteers, how about you in the Packers sweatshirt? Yep, you. Come on up. Round of applause, please.
You in the sweatshirt.
Hi there. What is your name?
John.
John, and how old are you?
10.
10. All right. Have you thrown a dart before?
Wait a minute. I want to know more about John. Where are you from, and what do you like to do?
Well, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, I grew up in North Carolina.
Oh, you did. So.
Have you been to Edenton?
No.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Which do you like better, the Green Bay Packers or North Carolina?
Green Bay Packers.
All right. Can you throw a dart, John? Go ahead.
So I'm going to hand you this dart. Yeah. All you have to do is make sure you hit that and not Michael. Yeah. Okay?
Stand back a little bit. Let's make it interesting. Okay.
Oh! Very well done. Do we have a gift for John?
Yeah, we'll
John. John, wait just for you. Yep. Michael's got a gift for you. All right.
No liquor. He's a little young.
This is Wonder Words. Crosswords.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I have a box of Kleenex. No. Hold on a sec. This is nice. I don't know what that is. Hopefully it's nothing. No, I can't give you that. And, there you go.
That's so nice. Thanks, John. Nice job.
Well done, John.
You can exchange those for other gifts, too.
And our next town of the week is going to be Pine City, Missouri. Pine City, Missouri.
Sounds good.
Please don't let me be misunderstood.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman. Yeah.
What does it say there on your shirt? Northeast and Southeast soccer? Mm-hmm. Which are you, Northeast or Southeast? You don't have to talk. But it will be used against you. Okay. Are you involved in the soccer thing?
It's only in the summer.
In the summer, yeah. Yeah. Are you Northeast or Southeast?
Well, we live in Northeast Minneapolis.
Oh, I see. Do you ever play Southeast Minneapolis? And does it get really mean?
No. Well, the teams there, they're from Northeast and Southeast. So.
Okay.
But we
what's
don't.
What's your team, though? Because I want to cheer for you guys.
Well, it changes.
What's the last one you're on?
You know what?
You remember the name of the team you're on?
Rhinos.
The Rhinos. What about them? Northeast Rhinos? All right, what's your name?
Claudia.
Claudia and?
Beatrice,
thank you, girls. Little insight there on who to cheer for. The Rhinos from the Northeast. What is your biggest pet peeve with misuse of words? I hate when people say pet peeve. You know, first of all, it's none of your damn business what any of my peeves are. Let alone my pet peeve. You know, do you really have a pet peeve? Applaud if you actually have a pet peeve. Okay. Applaud if it's nobody's damn business. Right. What are you covering up, sir?
I don't know.
Well, you know, I hate getting grammar corrections from someone. My wife isn't like, I married a grammar corrector. Kids, if you're thinking about getting married, not to a grammar corrector. Your whole life is saying things wrong. And you're, what? I'm sorry, but I got off on my wife again. I'm sorry.
Well, when I was in an English class, I went to ask the professor a question, and she corrected my English right away, and then I forgot my question.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to cover up.
And I'll be saying something that's really important to me and maybe a little emotion and stuff, and I get the French wrong. You know what I mean? And then so we stop and have to argue the French, and I lose the whole, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Okay. What is a doohawk? Am I reading that right? What is a doohawk? Mary Beth Pagura? Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm game. All right. What is a doohawk?
How do you spell that, Michael?
You spell it D-U Hawk. D-U Hawk. Okay, I've never been in this row. This is way far back here. We don't usually have people
way
back. How are you? Pretty good? Great.
How are you?
Good. Good. Okay. Okay. That's one of those partial get-ups. I like that.
Thanks.
Just on the hoist yourself up there. That's as far as you'll go. And
it's all the further I go.
Get up and your go is just up in a... Okay. I'm almost down there. Okay. You don't even bother doing the get-up. Okay. That's fine. All right. How are you?
Excellent.
Yeah, good. Am I there yet? I'm walking and these seats are cutting into my rear end. I'll tell you, I don't need this.
I'm glad I'm standing.
Yeah. How are you?
Great.
What is a doohawk?
A doohawk is the mascot of Loras College. And it's a sports writer wrote about the Dubuque Hawks. Oh. And it changed, it eventually morphed into the doohawks.
Oh, you said you have one?
I have a son who plays football for.
Oh, that's funny. I did all this. My God. Hi, how are you? I love what you're wearing. What you're wearing is beautiful. Did you pick it out yourself?
No.
No, you take a compliment very well, though. It's very beautiful. You like to dress up in different things?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a lot of style. And these boots are to die for.
Oh, my goodness.
These are the best boots ever. Like, we used to call them go-go boots when I was a kid. You got go-go boots and a beautiful dress on there with sparkles on it. Are you going someplace important?
Mm-mm.
No, going out dancing, maybe?
No.
Oh, okay. And what's your name, dear?
Brielle.
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 Oh, lovely name. Nice to talk to you. All right. Okay. All right. Excuse me, pardon. Oh, I should face the other way. I'm sorry. You never know how to go down an aisle sideways. You know, it's something to offend everyone. You know, on someone's butt rubbing on your neck. It's one of the unanswered questions in the radio quiz business. Has anyone ever checked on Napoleon Bonaparte's glove size? Okay. No, because he kept his hand in his damn shirt. That's why. He had very tiny little hands, little doll hands. That's why he kept it inside the shirt.
They were delicate.
Very delicate. Is Ted Cruz the Zodiac Killer? Now that you have Saturday mornings free, would you like to go sailing on my 33-foot sailboat on Lake Michigan? The South Shore Yacht Club. Okay, Carl, that's a keeper.
Carl's right over here.
Real Carl, is that you? It's true about this boat?
Yeah, it's my boat, and I'd love to have you out there.
Okay, all right. Is it got, you go downstairs, it's got a full bar and that sort of thing?
They can sleep about seven people. It's got a galley. It's got a head where you go to your Do you?
Yeah, it's not downstairs. It's a galley. I knew that.
All right.
I'm a sailor. I'm a yachtsman.
Oh, great. Yeah. Come on out.
We call them downstairs in Milwaukee, though.
You're going to have some spare time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks. Nice talking to you. Okay. You know he'll never have me on his boat. Do you have a boat?
No, I don't.
What do you like? What sort of relaxation thing you like to do?
Fishing.
Fishing? What do you fish? Are you going walleye fishing?
No. More like trout.
Like trout or it is trout?
Streams. A lot of trout streams around here.
Yeah? Yeah, do you catch and release, like my friend Lynn Blanker here?
No, I'm not that lucky. I usually eat them.
Okay. I mean, you have a choice, though. You got, and you could let it go and say, go and breed and be happy.
You could do that.
But you like trout.
I do like trout.
My point, and your name is?
Al.
Al, okay. Al likes trout. Caption of this. All right. Al is all right. I hear there's going to be a job opening in Minneapolis this summer. Are you going to apply? So sick of that. Yeah, I don't even want to see who it is. Sick of those things already. We have an engagement here, don't we? Steve Midthun, daughter and her fiance. Got engaged? Are they here? An engagement! Another what-do-you-know engagement couple. Oh, yes. We brought together so many over the years. Come on down here, would you? Because otherwise I have to do this thing again. Just engaged. Isn't that nice? Hi, how are you?
Hi, good.
When did you just get engaged?
I was on January 9th, but we haven't been home in a little while, so.
Okay. So did you tell him before you got home, or you just break it on him when you got there?
We were at home, but then we went back to school for a couple of months.
Yeah. Did they know?
It was pretty strategic, you know, do it right away and go back to school so they can't change their mind or anything like that.
Who's they?
Oh, Mom and Dad over there.
Oh. What have they got to do with it?
That's a good point.
Are they changing their minds? They already made their big jump, you know, but it's your decision, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah. You got to clear it by him first, though. It's,
you did?
I
with,
did.
With your mom or your dad or both?
Her mom and dad.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Was it in the wavering for a minute there as to whether?
No, it wasn't.
Because they like him.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, your name is?
Eric.
Eric and?
Hannah.
And Hannah? They love Eric.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more than me sometimes, probably.
So have you set the date?
Yeah, we have. Not this summer, but the following July 15th.
Giving yourself a lot of time there.
To plan,
yeah, to plan. Okay. Let's be the first to give you a little housewarming present here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Celebrate your engagement with award-winning wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Wollersheim Wines. But you can't drink them until you actually tie the knot.
That's fair. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another What Do You Know, brought together by What Do You Know, I'm sure. Oh, I didn't get the details. We've married off so many over the years. Lost very few to divorce, actually. Surprisingly few. Okay, that's good. Did you get to answer number 3 on that physics exam last week? Jacob, you got the wrong guy. That was not me in class there. That elder American auditing your physics class was not me. Where is Jacob? Jacob with the physics question. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, what was the question?
It was that one where there's like some box, right, sliding down a 35-degree ramp, you know, like that driveway. And and it was attached to a pulley with a counterweight on the other end. And it, yeah, I know, right? And it was like some, I don't even know, somehow the ramp was frictionless. I don't know how that happens. Like, are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me that something in the world is frictionless. That's not... Yeah, no, that's just not going to happen. That's not real.
Yeah. I hate physics. You know, when is that ever going to happen where you have a something going down on a pulley down a frictionless ramp?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have a pulley, why are you having it slide down the ramp at the same time? You're trying to pull it up, right? So, you know, yeah. Did you get the answer to that
one? No, I don't get that at all. Back in my day here, there was a course called Physics for Freaks. And it was like people who couldn't get anything about physics. It was about, you know, other things that you could put your, but I can't tell you. But hey, it was good. I don't remember what it was. But are you? Is that your major at least?
Well, I'm a mechanical engineering major.
You got to know that stuff.
Oh, yeah, you need to know.
But you could be in a frictionless environment at some point. Space. Well, space?
That's debatable, but.
All right, thanks, Jacob. Keep on keeping on. Let's hear it for frictionless environment. Thank you. Oh, he gave me his card. Carl Kruger. I'm sailing with Remax. And Carl Kruger, it's the Remax yacht. He got that for outstanding Remax sales. They gave him a yacht. That's Carl there. Gave me the card. I got it. Can't take it back. No, I got it. Anybody want Carl's card? You can just show this. He has to take you in the boat. It's got a basement in the boat. Give me that card. Give me that. God. Just because he can whistle, he thinks he can get anything when he whistles. Oh, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. This is a chance for you to show what you've learned all those years in various academic environments. And come on, jeez. Come on, come on. I know. Never mind. Just come on up. I'm not even going to ask you. Careful here on this thing. Okay. That was, yeah. Defy you, I doubt anybody ever has. Right?
Right.
You get your way.
I get my way.
All right. I'll just get your name and your metadata here. Your name is?
Wanda.
Wanda. Okay. Why do you say that like it's a very strange name?
Because it is
Wanda.
Kind of strange.
Wanda. I get Wanda.
Shrank is my last name.
I don't need your last
name.
Oh,
you don't?
No,
okay.
No. Unless we come looking for you for some reason. Yeah, Wanda. What was her last name? Shrank. Okay. I keep writing over myself. Wanda, how are you?
I'm good.
Where are you from? From here or there?
Well, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Oregon, yeah. Good. Not we always apply to every... Oregon, Wisconsin is no exception. It's also known as that part of Park Street around here.
Yeah.
That's what we call it. So what you up to? Are you working?
Oh, I'm retired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you retire from?
I was in IT. Computers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Developing software.
Oh, yeah. Develop any that you really enjoy developing?
Yeah, and now I do websites. I do for nonprofits. Develop websites for nonprofits.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But what do you really like to do?
Oh, scuba diving.
Scuba diving.
Yeah.
When did you take that up? Have you been doing it for a long time?
Oh, about 10 years ago we started.
Yeah.
Well, we did it 20 years ago on our honeymoon.
Now suddenly we're plural.
My husband and I.
Your husband and I, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a scuba diver too?
Yes.
Did he take to it first? Did he take to water like a duck?
No, it was me. I was the one that wanted to do it. I wanted to do it since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
It terrifies me. You're under there and you just, all the air you have is in this tank on your back. That's terrifying.
It's a whole other world under there.
I don't care. Oh. I like air all around me. You know,
yeah, but you see these incredible creatures that you don't even know.
You see that on land too.
Oh,
all kinds of things. Just look around, Wanda.
That's true.
Hard to see them even with those goggles. No, that's not. Was it on a vacation or something? And you finally did it, and then
we did it on our honeymoon, just a discovery scuba, and then we got certified, and then we've been traveling all around.
You started diving on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say something. I dare you.
Yeah. Nope.
Come on.
No, come on.
Okay, so restraint. Is what I'm saying. So you started diving on your honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And where was that?
That was in Mexico.
Okay.
Puerto Vallarta.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a good port. I've been down there, but I didn't do anything.
You didn't scuba dive.
No, I'm literally terrified of it. Even with the snorkel. Because how does water not go in that thing? It scares me. I tried it once, and water got in it, and I'm never going to. And yet people love it.
It's not for everybody.
No. So. I have trouble on land. Dry land scares me sometimes. God. This planet is spinning at a rapid rate, and I'm walking. What is the best places that you've scuba dived so far?
Oh, wow.
You've gone all over?
Kona and Kona. Indonesia.
What?
Philippines,
what?
Fiji, The Pacific is awesome diving.
Holy
awesome.
Cow.
But the Caribbean's good, too.
Oh,
Caribbean's
sure.
Caribbean's good.
Fallback position of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What?
Did you do that deep trench place?
Great Barrier Reef.
Huh?
No.
No. Okay. Mariana, deep trench.
No.
You can go down like 6 miles or something, but then you get hyper.
Yeah, I'm not certified for that far.
No. How far can you go?
About 130 feet I'm certified
That's
for.
Really good, isn't it? Is your husband certified the same way, or you leave him part way when you go down?
Yeah, I leave him up halfway. I
leave him at
See
60,
later,
and
bye.
I'm down at 130. That's really cool. That's very cool. Wonderful. All right, Wanda, someone out there plays along with you, and that's how this works, and how does that work then? Stephanie?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, percentage of people who always sing in the shower. Always. Okay, I confess to being one.
Really?
Yes.
You're a shower singer, huh?
It changes over the years. I used to do Town Without Pity.
What a town without pity can do.
Nikki's on the line here from Green Bay. And then, did I ask the question yet?
Yes, you did.
Yes, okay, I did.
That's
that was
how
that shower
you
thing.
Supplied us with such a vivid image.
People loved watching me sing that, too. Imagining I was in the shower singing Town Without Pity. It's a good one. Nikki.
Hey.
How about them Packers?
Well, actually, they're doing pretty good, but I'm more interested in roller derby. I was on a couple years ago talking with you about roller derby.
Oh, so. Yeah. What is your team?
They were the Fox City Foxes.
Fox City Foxes.
Yeah.
Roller derby is so super cool.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah, super
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, we don't sing, though.
No, are you still doing it?
I can't anymore. My mind says yes, but my body is just not willing anymore.
Yeah. So some of those hits are for real, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal. It's not like wrestling or something. Roller derby is the real deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So no more passing jammer panties around, but, you know.
No more what?
No more passing jammer panties around. Anyway, never mind. We wear panties on our head. Never mind.
I knew I would love this sport for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, we do it around here, we get criticized for it. Wearing our jammer panties on our heads.
Well, that's why you got to do it, because then you can hit girls and not go to jail and wear panties on your head, you know.
I'd wear the panties. I would never hit a girl.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Nikki, here's the question.
Yes.
Percentage of people who always sing in the shower.
I got to think it's low, but
yeah,
I'm thinking maybe 11%.
Close enough. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't believe it's accurate anyhow.
All right.
Well, it said 1%, and it's more than 1%. 11% would be 1 out of 9. How many of you actually sing in the shower? Is there clap. Yeah. Exactly 1 out of 9. Well, Nikki, this is Wanda.
Hi, Nikki.
Hey, Wanda, how are you doing?
Good.
Did you scuba dive at all?
I don't, but my son wants to learn how to do it. And when he's 12, I promised.
Yeah.
Do the,
Wanda, what do you suggest? Good place to start?
Yes, definitely scuba dive.
Yeah.
If you need, I know good instructors in Madison, but I'm sure you got good instructors in Green Bay, too.
Yeah, we want to see some of those ships under the... Lake Michigan.
Yeah. You know, I would do it if I could get one of those old helmets that had the hose running up to the boat and a nice, comfortable suit you're getting around in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe you could go down in one of those little boat things. You know,
they... no, I'll tell you. Oh, no. It's too much what my life is like now.
Too claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, you know. I don't need, that's not recreation for me. Okay, Nikki, Wanda, you work together. We collaborate because that's what we do here. And then what do we do, Stephanie?
We have various categories to choose from. And those categories are current events.
Any that you'd recommend?
They're all good ones. Oh. Odds and ends, though. We haven't had anyone choose that in a while.
Yeah, I know.
But current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends are the categories to choose.
Okay, Nikki, what would you like?
Well, let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends. All right.
Go for it.
Pick up the...
Okay. Wanda, you're my lifeline, so right. Watch them.
When nighttime is not the right time for females, it's often headache, as cited. What is a headache for males? You know, men don't usually say, I've got a headache. What do they say? Is it getting up early, backache, or snoring? Actually, snoring. That usually works for me.
I don't think they'd be good enough to fake snoring.
Who's faking?
I'm just, you know.
Getting up early, backache, or snoring? What's
getting
the headache for me?
Early.
What are you getting up early? Sure.
Yes, getting up early, exactly. Gotta get up early. I don't know. Never done it before. I can't really lose any sleep here.
All right, we've got time for maybe one more.
Okay.
So, categories for the last one: current events, people, places, school, or science.
Get it right, you win it all. Get it wrong, you still win a lot, quite a lot. Actually, no difference. Truth. Not to put pressure on it.
People.
People, it is. Yeah. All right. Percentage of average Americans, not that we are, any of us, average Americans' diet that is not junk.
Whoa.
Percentage of our diet that is actually not junk food. Is it 20, 30, or 40%?
You want to go 30?
20.
30? Okay.
30 or 40%.
40,
you know, let's say 40. Let's go with 40.
Do you want to give the average American a little credit or don't you?
Yeah, let's give them
sure,
some credit.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. You're saying 40%?
40.
40%, yeah. That's right, exactly. You won the race.
Wanda, you can gain audio solace from tunes like Nothing Ruins a Man Like a Woman, Done the Time, and Even Jesus Don't Love Me on Her Country, the songs of Michael Feldman performed by John Seeger and the Skeletons on Fish's Circle Records. Nikki, you'll learn about communication since the days of the denim leisure suit, earth shoes, and mutton chops in Michael Feldman's books Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including the CD My Life the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can experience a movie in the palm of your hand with a flip book by Matt Pollard from Thumb Cinema, and put yourself in a Parisian mood listening to the CD What Do You Know About Chopin, with liner notes worthy of French translation by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Wanda. Very nice. Thank you. Great job. Nikki, hang out. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
No problem. Thank you.
Attention Cleveland area Feldman fans, will be at the State Theater on Saturday, April 23rd. Ticket information is available by calling the box office or online at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, a producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Lane, with help from Brad Holberg.
Boys are in, Emily. Oh, come on. All right, then I'm getting up too.
PRI, Public Radio International.